Welcome to Unstoppable Real Hospitality, your host Arjun Sella. Today's guest is pastry chef, also I call him also a chef. He's an individual who likes to improve himself all the time. He takes courses, he works with other chefs, he competes, he teaches. Well, welcome Josip Frank. Welcome to the show, Josip.
Thanks for having me on, Arjun.
Well, they call you Joe, yes?
Yeah, Joe Pastry.
Joe Pastry. So tell us about yourself. When did you start in this business and what are you doing right now?
Well, obviously, with my name Josip, it's a little crazy. So I have immigrant parents and my brother from Croatia. So I was always brought up with home cooking, never went out to restaurants. Leftovers you ate or you didn't eat. My father was a contractor, so he started building restaurants. He actually built right here in Parsippany, Ecola restaurant, okay. Echo Queen in Bernardsville. Gastronomia was next door. So while days that we weren't at school or days after school, my dad would pick us up. We would have to go work for him. So for some reason, I was always like gravitating towards the chefs. And I know the smell of stocks that are going because you could smell, once the hoods were on, my dad's van would pull up and I could smell it from the outside and I would just get like really giddy like a little kid.
Wow, that's amazing. So when did you start to get really involved in the business? Did you went to school for cooking or chef or?
Yep, so in 98 I graduated high school, so I remember like it was yesterday. It was one day that I just took a day off of school and I wanted to decide what I was going to do. It was either going to go into construction with my father or it was going to be a chef. I go because you know, I always had that love for baking, cooking and stuff like that. But you know, my father was actually the one that told me you're better off going to school to be a chef because you already know how to do construction. He's like, so now, you know, my parents are very hands-on people.
Okay.
And they always said to learn a trade, which I agree with. I'm kind of
very important
going towards that route with my children. So they said to go pick up to be a chef because you already know how to cook or how to do construction. So,
exactly.
And if anything, you can go fix things and you can cook things. So you'll never be poor. You'll always be able to eat or you'll always be able to fix
something. That's a great mindset. That's a great mentor, you know. It's not every parent thinks like that about their kids.
Yeah, no, I see that.
You know, that's amazing. I'm very impressed. Do you want to cook in school?
Yep. So after that, I ended up applying to the CIA in upstate New York for bacon and pastry. But what I did was, once I filled out my application, I saw that I had to do like kind of like an apprenticeship somewhere. So luckily we're good friends with Nino from Ecola.
Okay.
And my father actually made him not pay me. So I worked at Echo Queen in Bernardsville with Russ for probably like 6-7 months, no pay. I was working probably 2 or 3 days a week. So I would do that while I was waiting to go to school and I would pump gas to pay for my car,
absolutely,
to pay the gas to go to work and stuff like that. So I did that for probably 6-7 months. And then I got the phone call that I was accepted to CIA.
Wow. So you really have to have some experience to go to CIA. I interviewed somebody else and they told me the same, you know.
Yeah.
So he got accepted at CIA because they were looking for.
Yeah.
It's a really, really great school, I guess, yeah.
I'm always going to say CIA is the best. I mean, Johnson Will, people say that. I don't know how it is now. I think it's getting a little too, you know what it is? TV and stuff is kind of messing this up where there's so many kids coming in and I think they're lying and getting people to write on their resumes that they are working where all it's doing is messing you up.
Yes.
I think in the long run. So I think like the kids that are doing it the right way over there, it's great. I mean, all the stuff that I learned at school was, if I could do that all over again, if I didn't have a wife and family, I wish I could go back to school right now.
Wow. And learn. Wow. That's a great impression. So when you finish CIA
yep.
and Did you start working right away?
I started right away. So I did my externship. So at CAA, you got to do like a 4-month externship in the middle of school. So I ended up going to the Ritz-Carlton in Palm Beach.
Okay.
So I was there for like 4.5 months. I did my externship there.
So how was your experience there? Worked under any famous chef or?
It was great.
Doesn't have to be a TV star.
Yeah. It was Joe Lopresti was the name of the pastry chef. He wasn't even back then, like this was in 2000. Okay. So he wasn't like a famous guy, but.
You gotta be good.
So he was great in sugar work, chocolate work, all that stuff. So that's kind of where I learned my basics from. And that was my first,
job.
At Coqui, I was working, but I was the assistant. You know, I was washing pans, doing dumb things. But I mean, that's what you gotta do. I actually got to work and do buffets and stuff like that. To me, if you're starting off, I think you should go to a hotel.
Okay.
Because you see every aspect.
Okay.
You get to see banquets. You get to see a la carte service. You have amenity plates. You have special guests that come over there.
It's a broader spectrum that you get.
That's very interesting.
You know, excellent. So after that, was you moved after?
After that, then I came back to school, finished up over there. It's funny because I went with my roommate because, you know, you don't make a lot of money when you come out of school.
Okay.
So what we did is CIA has these career fairs where you have thousands of restaurants, businesses ready to hire you.
Okay.
So we did kind of like a tag team thing where we did like double interviews and we told the people, you got to hire both of us. They're looking at us like we're a little crazy.
Well, that's thinking out of the box. That's smart.
You know what? You got to survive.
Exactly.
And that's what it, if you want to go work at those good places, that's
what we do in interview. We want to bring value. We inspire, you know, the younger generation that it's not easy to start, but since you start, when you start moving, that's how you improve yourself and make more money.
Absolutely. So we did that and we had 5 offers that we narrowed it down to. We were going to either go to Austria, to Vienna. We were going to go to Australia. We were going to go to England, go back to Florida at the Ritz-Carlton, or the Four Seasons in San Diego. So we couldn't decide. So we took our chef hat and we put all 5 things. Uh-huh. We had one girl pick it.
Okay.
And it showed up that it was Four Seasons San Diego. And we called them and we said, that's where we're working.
Wow. Excellent. So how was your experience in San Diego?
It was really... Which place to work in San Diego? They say it was San Diego Four Seasons, but it was Aviara. So that it's not even... It's kind of North San Diego. Okay. It's in Carlsbad.
Okay.
So they called it Four Seasons Aviara. I'm not sure what it is now. I think they switched the name now. I was there for a little over a year. That was awesome, too. You know, I got to go... I was doing right away plate-ups and stuff. We had kind of like a restaurant called The Terrace where they would do buffets.
Okay.
It was kind of like a mid-level restaurant, I would say. And then we had Vivace, which was the upscale Italian restaurant that was more fine dining. So it was really cool because I would get to do it. I mean, it was tough. 3 days a week, you had to come up with special desserts.
Okay.
You had to do serving.
And also you have to design the place too. Each dessert deserves a different design.
Yep, and each restaurant had to be different. And everything that you did had to go through the chef. Not even the pastry chef. He went through the executive chef. He would come
there. Even though you do your design, you do your dessert, and if the head chef,
if he didn't like it, that was it.
You gotta go back again.
Go back and do it all over again. So, you know,
it's a challenge, really challenging. We just finished school, and that's a really boot camp.
To me, what it was is it teaches you how to take criticism, and you got to be very humble because you know you're coming out of school and you want to do a million things.
Don't use that bad ego. Use that good ego.
You know what? It's a real kick in the ass.
Feel free, of course.
Because I think now people are too soft that come into this industry and they want to apologize. You want to do what you want to do, but there's always someone that's better than you.
So you better come on time and do your job, you know?
Exactly. And there's always someone above you.
And don't crush.
Yeah.
That teaches you life. Don't crush.
So like I said, he would do that stuff. Sometimes he would say it was great. Sometimes he would flat out say it sucked. Hey, and it hurts your feelings because you put all your heart into it. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You got to change going. It sometimes. So.
I call it resistance. Just keep going. Just fight and do it.
Exactly.
Excellent. So how long you stay?
There, I was there for about a year and a half. So I was going to, this is the kicker. I know everybody's got a September 11th story, but I was supposed to get transferred to the Four Seasons in Battery Park.
Okay.
My first day was September 11th. So I was driving in to my first day of work when that happened with the tower. So I drove in. I couldn't make it through the tunnel. I had to turn back around. And back then, I didn't have a cell phone, so I had to go back to my house, call. And then I came back. I came all the way from California to Jersey, and I lost the job in a matter of a second. So well, I was stuck. I didn't have anything.
It is what it is, you know. That's life, you know. Tragedy happens.
Yeah.
So you couldn't reach that. So how long did you stay without work?
I was without work. See, my problem was I was young and hungry. I'm old and hungry.
Yes.
But I was young and hungry, and I wanted to work for the best places. So I didn't want to just
But you had great parents. They motivate you.
Yeah.
The story tells me, God bless you. I hope everybody has that type of parents.
Yeah.
They grind you. They tell the right path, you know, to life.
Exactly.
So please go ahead.
So I wanted to go work for the best. I didn't want to just take any job. So mm-hmm. I applied to the different hotels in New York City, not knowing if I was going to get it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I applied to the Hilton Short Hills, and I actually really wanted to work there because the one chef, Jody Clockwell, he just won the gold medal for like the World Chocolate Classics.
Wow.
So I was like, you know what?
So you were really hunting for the best of the best.
Yeah. I wasn't taking no for an answer.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So I ended up having to wait probably 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay.
So I ended up getting a job moving for a moving company.
Okay.
Just to make enough to do my car payments and
Absolutely.
Stuff because my parents, they weren't paying my bill. I got to stay home for free.
Listen,
but
I love
they
your
weren't
parents.
Paying my bills.
I love your parents.
So I ended up getting a call 3 or 4 weeks after at the Hilton Short Hills.
Okay.
And it was funny because the guy, Walter Leffler, he calls me up and he's like, hey, he's like, I have a position for you, but I don't know if you took something else. I told him off the phone, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I literally finished my job that day. Left, but I told them from the beginning
you
what my
yourself,
goal was.
You're available
yes,
any minute, any second.
Absolutely.
You're available. You know, great, great mindset.
That's went over did. There, and then I started at the Hilton Short Hills. I was there probably for 2.5 years.
Wow. Okay. And what did you learn different from
over there? So now another thing that I learned over there is I would say there I really learned teamwork.
Okay.
We had a the chef over there, Chef Leffler, had, you look back at it now and you can't believe the kids that were everybody was young out of school, but he knew how to manipulate everybody, which was perfect because now what I do now personally is he made competition between everybody. So he would bring you in his office one day and be like, hey, you know, Patrick over here said he can make a showpiece better than you. He's like, I don't think he can do it, but you know, you should really show him. And he knew how to get me because that would bother me.
So inspired.
He would inspire
everybody, you know, and when you get inspired, you don't care about time. You don't care about nothing. You just want to show and that you show that you are the best.
Exactly.
So I love that technique is used with you guys.
It's great. And like I said, I use it to this day, but again, now you go in there, you punch in, you do your work. Now everybody's trying to show off, like, who can work longer and do better
things.
Everybody's
motivated.
Yeah, I got to say.
Well,
that's
a teamwork. Like you told
it
me,
is.
You know, that's where you learn teamwork.
And like I said, when one person falls behind, another one would jump in. But like I said, it was competition, but it was healthy. It wasn't like you were fighting
exactly.
with each other. You were just trying
say,
to outshow the
other ego
person.
And good ego.
Yeah.
A good ego competition.
Exactly.
Wow. Beautiful. And you said like 2.5 years.
So I was there for probably 2.5 years. We did a couple competitions, the U.S. pastry competition and the Javits Center, which was great because, again, like I said, when you're at a hotel or something, they have the money to let you practice and do all those things. So the hotel sponsored all that stuff. So we got to do that.
The restaurant, the chef brought lots of value to the restaurant.
Exactly.
I mean, when you are in that position, you know, of course the hotel's going to invest money in you guys.
Absolutely.
They used to have one of the best clientele there.
Exactly.
Excellent.
So we did that. I was there for like 2.5 years. I found one of my wife won't like this, but one of my ex-girlfriends from school.
Okay.
I ended up reconnecting with her and I said, you know what, let's go move somewhere. So I ended up going now to the Breakers in Palm Beach.
Wow.
Yeah, I was moving all over. You know, when you're young, I think you have to do that. You you got to stay at a place at least a year and go. If you're going to go somewhere, you got to go somewhere where you're going to learn. So I ended up getting a great position at the Breakers where they made me the head pastry. So this was like my first pastry chef position because before I was a pastry cook. So now I got hired as a pastry chef for all the outlet restaurants at the Breakers.
Different style.
Upscale, but but what's cool, again, is because you're at a hotel, now we have off-site restaurants. We have an Asian-themed restaurant, a fish-themed restaurant. You have a steakhouse restaurant. So now you're doing everything.
But you're doing it for everybody.
For everybody.
You cover all the restaurants.
All the restaurants. So I would go and set up the menu, and then we would have like a
I want to stop you here because the reason it's so important to learn all different styles of cooking, because with the new technology, and believe it or not, I know a friend of mine in New York City. He has a I call it underground restaurant. He has 10 different websites, and what he does is he delivers food to all the different businesses, private people, doesn't matter. But he has 10 restaurants in one kitchen.
Yeah.
And he has, everybody thinks that, you know, they're getting the high quality food from all different restaurants. No, everything is in from one place. So he has a pastry chef who knows all of the different cuisines. He has a chef who knows all different cuisines, and he's doing over $15 million. And his prediction is by next year, it's $20-25 million. He's killing it.
Yeah.
So that's what I stopped you because people have to listen to these things. So you have to think out of the box. You learn all different cuisines. I mean, you learn French style, but don't hesitate to learn other cuisines.
Absolutely, you can't be tunnel vision.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because like I said, if you do that, you're just not.
That's you have to improve yourself. And don't have an ego. Oh, I'm not doing this type of cuisine. Oh, I'm not doing this. Learn. It's good to know.
Absolutely.
So continue, please.
So we did that. We had all those outlet restaurants. So I would go set up the menu, do the tasting. And again, now at the Breakers, it was even harder because now they would bring all managers from all the departments. Now you have someone from housekeeping critiquing your dessert.
Yes.
You have someone from the front desk critiquing your desserts, and now you really—it's
kind of like a military level,
exactly.
But you know, it's like a softer, way of.
But what that does now is like, when I was younger, I'd get a little bit more upset because now I have someone from housekeeping critiquing my dessert, and I'm like, "What do you know? You don't know anything about food." But now, when I look back at that, those are the type of people that or probably come into your restaurant that don't know food as much. So now by them giving their input, really when you look back at it, they're looking more as a customer perspective than as a chef. Wow. Because as a chef, you're trying to show, you know,
exactly.
You want to show this technique, you want to do this new flavor, but sometimes that doesn't work. That's for you.
I totally agree on that because I hear from customers, because I deal with a lot of customers, and they say, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? I say, I totally agree with you, but I cannot put this product here because United States is huge, it's big, and every region, every small town, every city has a different food culture. So you have to think also business. It's just not only what you want to do.
Yeah.
You have to think, are you going to make money from that? You know?
Absolutely.
So you're going to say, you're going to probably make 100 desserts and you're going to throw everything in garbage. So what you did, you just killed the restaurant.
Exactly.
You know, so I love the way you're thinking, you know, and the way you're expressing yourself. Excellent.
So like I said, that probably, when I look back at it, that was a real turning point in my career because now you're you're learning to listen to people as opposed to like being on the defensive side.
Yes, yes.
But of course, you're young and you get upset.
Of course,
but,
of course.
It just makes you learn. Work hard.
Exactly. You learn from mistakes.
You work hard. So I did that. I set up a couple of those menus up, and I ended up coming back to New Jersey to the Hilton Short Hills.
Okay.
So I think I was at the Breakers for probably like a little over a year. Now I came back to the Hilton Short Hills, and I had an even better position. So what they did was they made me the executive pastry chef of the dining room. So when I was there, we were the only Five Diamond hotel and restaurant in the state of New Jersey. Actually, that was the only Five Diamond Hilton in the whole corporation that we had over there. So we had very high-level food in that dining room. But again, I would set up those menus over there, and then I would work on sometimes buffets and things like that. But it was great because I literally could focus just on one tiny restaurant. And, you know, back then it's not too busy because it was so fine dining.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was more American cuisine. Okay. But there I got to practice doing petit fours, where every person would get 3 to 4 petit fours a night. I would make the bread for the restaurant, make all the ice cream. Everything was from scratch. There was nothing getting bought.
Exactly.
Nothing got bought.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, not every restaurant can support that. You know,
and
financially, that's expensive.
And that's probably another lesson that I learned in life is, you know, you're young. I was 22, 23 years old. And oh, wow, look at this. I came up to be a pastry chef at the dining room. So now my next move was I was still at the dining room, but my shift was like, I think it was from 3 to 11. Like, you know, we always dessert, you always stay a little bit later. But I ended up I was still hungry to do more stuff, but there wasn't enough volume to do what I needed to do. So I ended up, one of my friends introduced me to Lou from Lunello's, Lou Seaver.
Okay.
So I hit it off with him like immediately the first night.
Well, he's also a CIA graduate.
Yeah, he's also a CIA graduate.
He has a mindset, you know.
Exactly.
You know, he needs a pastry chef.
Yeah.
Every restaurant can afford a pastry chef.
No, they can't.
Most restaurants,
they don't even have it. They buy it.
They don't either. They buy it from other,
you get it from places, other outlets.
Outlets. And it's not the same. Trust me. It's not the same.
No.
Nothing like having a pastry chef in the restaurant.
So
very important.
I ended up meeting Lou. We hit it off. And he asked me, at the end of the night, I didn't even go there for a job. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden he asked me, he's like, do you want to do the desserts over here? And I like looked at him. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm like, why not? That night, he just got like this impression from me, and I kind of got it off of him. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. I'm like, but you know, I work at the Hilton Short Hills. He's like, that's fine. He's like, you can come in the morning if you want. I'm like, yeah. I go, what time do you guys get here? So I think because that was when it was in Toto, they would probably... Nobody got in there until like 11 o'clock or something. So I'm like, you know, I need to be here probably 8 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning. I go, I want to prep and get out of here, go shower so I can go to my next job. That night that he met me, he took the key off his chain, off his key ring, gave me the keys to the place and the code. Like literally,
literally like a click.
Yeah, it was just, and it was.
He knew. Well, he is very experienced chef. You know, he knows how. People that wants to work hard, and he appreciates it. So he saw it. Even he didn't know where
he's doing. Exactly. Literally, I've never met him. I've never talked about him.
It's a body language.
Yeah.
You know, you had a great, you know, you guys clicked. So that's beautiful. And how long you worked for him?
For him, so I was still working at the Hilton when I was with him. And then I did both jobs for probably, I want to say like a year and a half.
Okay.
And then what happened was, now I was kind of like getting to that point in my life where I wanted to start making
money.
You can
create things, make money and create your own things.
Exactly.
Like, more independent.
So I wanted to...
Be yourself.
Exactly. I wanted to express myself, but I also, you know, I'm sitting here working two jobs like crazy.
Yes.
Paying the bills, paying my car, paying my student loans. Now my father ended up going into the union.
Mm-hmm.
For construction, because, you know, since me and my brother weren't doing the business anymore, it was kind of hard for him.
Uh-huh.
He ended up getting me into the union, so I had to make that decision that I want to do that. But again, coming from my parents, my dad gave me a rule. He goes, I'll get you in the union, but you can only work for 2 years. So in those 2 years, you got to save up all this money, but you have to keep one of your pastry chef jobs.
Okay, wow.
So
what's his father's name? I just saw
it. He's a Yosip Senior.
Well, he I call him a workaholic. Yeah. That's why he give you the name, and that's why you're
exactly.
Wow, so you follow his steps.
So I had to keep at least one of those jobs to keep my feet wet. So I went to the Hilton and asked them, can I just work part time at night? And there, you couldn't do it. No. There was no way that you could do it. So Lou was actually like, yeah, I don't care. He goes, as long as you get the stuff, then you can come here at night.
Yeah.
So I did that for 2 years where I would get up at 3 a.m, go to this, because my dad was the foreman. So I would have to drive to the city with him. I would sleep in the car for another hour because he had his morning meetings. Then we would work. I would come home. I'd be home by 5-6 o'clock, eat dinner, shower, then go to Lunello's, work for like 3-4 hours. I was young then. I'd have a couple drinks with my friends, go back to sleep, and start all over again. I was doing 7 days a week, 2 jobs.
That's
for 2 years.
Crazy.
So
crazy.
I don't think so.
Not many people that do it.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
And but
listen, get inspired. Just do it.
And the thing too with that was my father literally, like I'm not joking. He would take my check from the union and I would have to show him that I deposited it. I wasn't allowed to touch that money. All my money that would pay my bills and stuff would be the Lunello's job.
Okay.
So now I would put all that stuff away. And what was good with that is I ended up buying my first condo.
Wow.
With that money. So I did, like I said, I did that for 2 years. Now I ended up meeting my wife. We got married. So I made that decision, what is it I'm going to do? Am I going to go work construction full-time or work back in the restaurant? Again, full-time.
Yep.
I made my decision. I went back to the restaurant. So Lou ended up hiring me full-time. Mm-hmm. And that was like towards the end of when we were in Totowa.
Okay.
So, because for him to hire me full-time, it wasn't worth it because it wasn't a big enough place.
It
literally, like I said, it just stuff
perfect
happens
timing.
For a reason.
Perfect timing.
Like, we ended up going and Lou got the place in Cedar Grove, where it was good because now we did the construction for over there.
Okay.
And then opened that place up, and then I was full-time with him. So I've been with him for probably 14 years, probably, at least.
Wow.
14 years.
And the place is doing very well. And, it's, like I said, pastry chef is so important. Because at the Lunello's, you didn't do only pastry. You also did a lot of things.
Yeah.
I remember you used to make the best shrimp bisque. You make the best short ribs. I can go on and on and on and on, but you kind of open your heckle, you spread your... techniques in also in real cooking,
But see, again, that
salads goes, you came up with the whole.
Yeah, I mean,
salads.
I do, to this day, I do specials for that.
Yes.
What pastry chef does that?
Well,
but
you got that backup. You learn from, from the restaurants, the hotels, the breakers. So you pick up all the best things. I mean, the best things, then you just implement it in the place you work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, that's like the key is. And I tell all pastry chefs that too, and then you should go for a chef too. Don't limit yourself to
exactly.
just how to do pastry,
exactly.
just how to cook. Because
it's good to be the best when you do, but a lot of people say, it's tough business. I know everybody says become the best in one field. But like I say, even the Heckel Bloomberg, New York Times, you read, they have issues with the pastry chefs. I mean, not issue with them, but
they're not making
enough
money. Yeah,
to hire them.
Make enough money.
So what you have to do is just expand yourself. You know that how to bake, but it's so you can learn how to cook too.
Absolutely,
of course, absolutely. So when you get a job as a chef, you can make the best desserts. You bring value to the place.
Yeah.
Of course, you can get paid more after that.
No, that's what it's all. And in all honesty, you do everything for love. But you got to be able to survive.
Absolutely.
Too. And the only way to survive is to be broad. You can't be tunnel vision. You got to do everything. Like I said.
Well, my father, way before I came to this country, told me, well, son, you're going to go to the United States. And it doesn't matter which country you're going to go, foreign country. Every place is a jungle. So you have to learn how to survive.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to be a lion, but you can be anything else. I decided to be a tiger.
I like that one.
Yes. So did you compete? Tell us, because I know you have that competing
spirit. Yeah, I did.
Spirit. I heard, I don't know, maybe you don't want to tell me, but I Googled you. I find out that I think you want to chop.
Yeah, I ended up.
Network.
Yeah. So like I said, I would still do competition, like little local competitions.
A lot of people, I did for myself competition because I want to see where I am.
Yeah.
I have to be a winner.
Absolutely.
But you have to, you learn, it's learning experience.
Yeah. So what I did was I actually went to the Bernard's Inn too. While
okay.
I was with Lusso.
It's another
I would say
great place. Last year,
I had an opportunity where the pastry chef left from the Bernard's Inn. Mm-hmm. So I had two of my friends that worked there, and they called me saying that my name was getting like thrown into the mix. But I remember I always said that I always wanted to work at the Bernard's Inn because I remember Bernard's Inn was like that place was the shit.
It is.
When I was at the Hilton, the Bernard's Inn was like the place. Yeah, absolutely.
That was a competition.
Like I said,
which I don't believe in competition, but
yeah,
business was it.
So I had Chef Corey Heyer was over there. I ended up getting a meeting with him, and this was right around Christmas time. So two Christmases ago when I was at Lunella's, I'm like, you know what? Like maybe I liked it because it's a whole different aspect. You know what? Because I was at Lunella's and everything was like, you know, very Italian, very... Mm-hmm. It's more comfort food, which, again, now this is me getting hungry again. It's like, you know, I felt like I did what I had to do at Lunella's,
yes.
And there was nowhere for me to grow. So now I wanted to challenge myself again.
Yes.
I'm like, this opportunity came. Uh-huh. I talked with Chef Corey, had two or three meetings with him, sat down with my wife. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I need to do this for myself because I'm getting bored.
Yes.
And if I'm going to be bored... With me, I'm an extremist. It's either you get everything or you get nothing. It kind of sucks, like that's what it is.
Absolutely.
You're getting 100% of me. If I don't have passion behind it, I'm not doing it.
Yes.
I'm not wasting my time on something that I don't care about.
Exactly.
I have kids. I have my two children that I love. And my
they inspire
wife.
You.
Exactly. So if I'm going to be working, I want to be happy.
Absolutely.
So I ended up getting that job over there. And that really made me start thinking out of the box again because I got to do more, not that Lunella's isn't fine, but it's a different style.
Of
so
course.
I got to push myself and try to do like really crazy different
methods. I suggest to anybody, even if you work part-time somewhere, full-time, you always look other places because you learn a lot. Everybody has a different, cuisine, different
mm-hmm.
Techniques, and you have to improve yourself.
Absolutely.
You can stay with one style for 20 years. Because not like technology changes, also cooking is changing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, customers are changing. You know, the taste is changing. So you have to learn that.
And it's funny, because now how you're saying that, the guy Nino from
yes.
Ecolo, he always had a saying that like always stuck in my head, and
yes.
This is how he is in business, and he's successful too, because you gotta be like a shark. He's like, a shark is always moving. Once a shark stops moving, it's dead.
It's dead.
So
absolutely, yes.
It's right or wrong. I mean, you gotta better yourself.
Well, it's a big difference in a running river and your cold pot.
Exactly.
You know? Which one smells worse?
Yeah. So I got to do that at the Bernard's Inn. I stayed there for a year, which was great because again, now I got to do all my chocolate work.
Yes.
Make breads again, make the ice creams. I mean, we do that still at Lunella's. But now I was doing that, and it was like, so now you're doing fine dining, and there's a lot less volume. Where I'm used
okay.
to doing 300,
okay.
400, and like, now
doing
I'm
less.
Doing 30 to 100 on a
okay.
busy night.
Kind of put you down too, because you have that to go. Let's do more.
And
that
was,
challenge.
Yeah.
So, okay. But you learned something. But
yeah.
I believe you learned something different.
And that's what
more, because I know you're great on decorating
yep.
your plate. You make it so appealing for before even I call take the spoon or fork and taste the dessert. It's just like mentally you
yep.
make the customer size.
And that's
you want something different there.
Well, that's what I got to learn.
Or maybe on business part.
It was more presentation. I mean, the flavors had to be on spot, but now I really could concentrate a little bit more on presentation because
okay.
there was less volume we
okay.
were dealing with.
Okay.
But again, that's another thing that brings you back to, you know, you can work at a fancy busy place,
yes,
and
yes,
your food's not going to look the same. Like, a lot of people, honestly, they'll look at Lunello's and be like, ah, the food doesn't look that fancy. But, you know, you're not realizing.
I always say, I don't care. I see so many people. And also, I mean, I don't criticize, you know, famous chefs. But they make it so beautiful. They take Instagram pictures.
Yeah.
And that. But, and also, I have an issue with the new pastry, not chefs, the baking chefs.
Yeah.
You know, they make beautiful cakes, but they spend so much energy on the decoration,
yep,
but they don't spend, you know, I think, a cent on the taste.
Exactly.
Because the place I work, we get that opportunity to taste those cakes, and they're terrible.
Yep.
They're beautiful from outside, but they're terrible from inside.
And that's the problem too, is now, I think, with Instagram and TV and stuff like that. I mean, I'm an Instagram.
I'm a pro.
I'm an Instagram whore.
So,
I'll admit.
Instagram or Facebook. I love that. You know, I'm not against, but my point is that to spend more time on the flavors.
Absolutely, yes. And that's
where you shine. That's
yep.
where you bring value, you know, to your job. That's where you get the heck of a more business from your clients. You know,
because there's nothing more. And I learned that from.
And don't take it in person. You know,
yeah.
I say, oh, don't get I do a good job. Flavor, very important.
And that's what I learned from Chef Corey at the Burgers Inn, was he wanted it to look great, but it had to taste good. Like, first and foremost is taste. That's always, don't just put a color on a plate because, oh, this needs a red. Okay, so you're going to just pick up something red. Everything's got to make sense that's on
yeah.
a plate. And that's one thing I gave him all the credit in the world and why I wanted to work with him.
I just came up with, great makeup, but, you know, soft personality.
Yeah.
It gives, you know, nice vibe.
Yeah, and there's nothing more of a letdown than something that looks like amazing, then you eat it and you're like, what is it? Like, I really think that you need to taste the flavors that are on. You need
yeah.
to focus. To me, you focus 2 to 3 things tops on a plate,
yes,
like
yes.
now. And but again, that's another thing now, is when I'm coming back to, end up coming back to Lunello's.
Yes, yes,
again,
yes.
I know
yes.
I'm all over the place, but my
nothing,
brain,
nothing,
like, I'm thinking about food
that,
right now that we're talking
wrong.
About.
You know,
so
it's your home base, you know?
I ended up coming back to Lunello's, and now I really, really realize.
Yes, I believe you find a place there
yep.
that you can express it. So you go to other places, you get experience, you learn some new things, and you come and you express yourself
absolutely.
In your own terms.
And now when I look at that, like, again, I was kind of frustrated at one point when I was ready to leave
mm-hmm.
because I'm like, the food doesn't look this good. It's not like it is on Instagram.
Yes, yes.
This is the stuff that I want to be doing.
Yeah.
When I sit down and look at it, Lou's food tastes so good. Like, you don't need to do these fancy things. Like
yes.
I said, I would say his food is like what your grandma made.
Yes, yes.
Just with way better ingredients.
Yes, yes.
And more finesse to it.
And better presentation.
And honestly, that's what Matt, at the end of the day, it's got to taste good, dude. Don't, like, you look at me now, I'm pulling myself, I'm more comfortable with letting my flavors mm-hmm. do the talking, and I'm trying to pull myself away
yes.
from using the tweezers on putting
okay.
things on the plate. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'll still keep tweezers in my pocket
of course.
For a couple garnishes,
yes.
but, like, it's got to taste good, dude. Like, people don't want to think when they're eating. Like, they don't, you don't want to make the customer feel dumb.
Yes.
Because then they have to ask the waiter, what's this? What's because they feel, you know what? You got to think of them. They're
absolutely.
Paying your bills.
Yes,
they want to feel, when they're coming to eat, they want to be comfortable. They don't
yes.
want to feel like they're, some of them want to learn, but they're there to relax. It's all about the ambiance, right? It's
absolutely.
About the service, about the food. Like, what's the last thing they want to do? They want to know, they care that I put a piece of micro mint that came from New Jersey. And
yes.
Don't get me wrong. I want to be local, but they don't need to know that. There's no, it's got to be there for a purpose, and it's got to taste good.
I feel less talk, better work.
Exactly. It's just.
I sometimes I get irritated. It sounds good, but it's kind of fading. It's like a fashion. For a couple of years, you know, everybody's talking. It was all about putting beautiful descriptions on
mm-hmm.
dishes. And when you taste it, you get shocked.
Yeah.
What's going on with this taste? I don't like it. It's terrible.
Exactly.
It's no flavor or whatever. So concentrate more on a flavor. And also then after you focus on your heckle designing dish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't overdo something.
Yeah.
Don't put extra makeup. Put enough makeup.
You got to put love into it. That's the problem.
That's the key. That's the key. So let's change the subject because we can go on and on.
We'll do 10 more.
Your passion is like, wow. It inspires me. Forget about the rest. What for all this, how old are you?
I'm old in life. I just turned 38. I just turned 38.
Oh, 38. So you have over 10 years experience.
Yeah.
I would say maybe
20 years.
20 years.
Now.
Yes, yep. Yes. Besides, I call chef and pastry chef, all that you proved yourself. Did you learn something about financials? How much the dish will cost?
Oh,
how much?
Yeah.
Because so important in some places, and I believe you have experience. Some places the dish probably costs more money than
they're selling,
it. And that's what brings the restaurant to fail. So tell me, do you have any experience like that, or? Just go ahead.
That I can honestly say, I mean, obviously at CIA, we learned all costing and stuff. But again, when you start out, you don't care. You're like, oh, I'll put this garnish.
Everybody
everybody wants to put gold leaf on things. And yeah, sure, it looks great.
Yes.
At the end of the day, when you cost that out, that's $5 a sheet that you're putting on a dessert now. Are you getting your 20, 30%? Food cost on that? No way, because you're selling it for a couple dollars.
But honest truth, desserts should be the highest profit.
Absolutely.
That's what the restaurant that makes the money.
So I would say from Lunello's that I looked at, my problem is, and I guess it's a fault and it's a good thing, because when I work at places, I do it like I own the place. So I'm
very everybody has to do that. Everybody. Doesn't matter what job the description you have. You gotta do it like you own it.
Yep. So I would do that. I would look at all the costs of everything, but it wasn't like so into detail because Lou would take care of that, the accountants. But then when I got to the Bernard's Inn with Chef Corey,
okay.
Every month, at the end of the month, we had to do an inventory, hard inventory, where we weighed everything out to see what was
in
it. So now
we
got a true
inventory.
True food cost. This
exactly.
is
no joke.
Okay, there's 3 pounds, 4 pound quarterback. No, it's
way
out.
Why that missing? Why this?
Exactly.
Why would you use it? Well, that same. Well, you learn from the best leaders, and even if you're a leader, you always learn from somebody else. Don't have that fucking ego. Sorry, my language. but I get mad. I don't like nobody to go down. I want everybody to be successful. That's the reason we have this Unstoppable Real Hospitality show.
Yeah. Like I said, Corey, I think, was the master with that. Was every dish had to be costed out, and I would give it to him. I would present it to him.
Yes.
Okay, this is great. Now tell me how much it costs. So I would give it to him. I tried keeping everything.
Be honest.
I tried keeping everything down.
That's what we're trying to teach other. This is for our industry, not for.
I try keeping desserts under $2.
Absolutely.
That's my goal. Is
make the best
taste under
$2. That's the key.
So
I
now,
like that.
From
you should start an Instagram show or Facebook.
We'll do everything under $2.
Under $2 tastes like $10, $20. Nothing wrong with that.
So we would try to keep everything under $2 so that we can stay in the right food cost. Well, there at the hotel, it was crazy because we did a la carte. I would cost those out. We would do for banquets, cost it out, cost my cakes out. We would do chocolates for turn down service, cookies for turn down service. We had three other outlet restaurants that we did. Everything was costed out, and every single week, I would sit there and go through all my invoices, update my prices and stuff.
Yes,
because again, yeah, you could do food costs when you first did the recipe. Say that becomes your staple in your place. Distributors know what you're buying.
Yes.
They start moving the prices around,
okay.
And you don't know what's happening. So now something that costs $2, it could cost $3.
Yes.
And a month later, so
you
now you're losing money.
You gotta be very careful. That tells you, every week you get delivery, check the prices.
Absolutely.
Yeah. then you work with that prices. And you also can negotiate with them too.
Well, even if they,
don't be like a stubborn or be shy. No, ask, listen, this was a week ago, was this much money? Why went up? I want my price.
Yeah, twice exactly.
And most of the time you win.
And you, honestly, I know the salespeople are going to hate this, but you can lock in prices for X amount of time.
I do. The place I work, I do like the wines by the glass. That's where I make all my money. The wines that move a lot, I lock the price. I don't care that I fight with the. No, I don't tell the truth with the sales people. I go straight to the source.
Yeah.
I go with the managers, head managers, or the owners of the company. I don't care. I don't stop.
Yeah. And like I said, you have to look at it like I'm
a number guy. I love numbers. So, Valeris, I love numbers. Yes. So, your amazing experience, and you're working very hard at the new place you work, and also you do teaching for...
Passaic County Tech.
Okay. What do you do there?
What I do is I got lucky. The school actually came to Lunello's one time, mm-hmm. and they asked if we wanted to come and visit the school.
Okay.
So I jumped on that immediately. So I went over there one day with Lou. I met a couple of the instructors, and I see that they do this program called ProStar. So mm-hmm. what it is you get five kids. So, well, there's four kids on the team, five like an alternate. Mm-hmm. They practice every single day from like 6 a.m. until school starts.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make 3-course meals. They have to make an appetizer, entree, and dessert all within an hour mm-hmm. with no electricity. They can only use burners or whatever. Like if you need to whip something, it's by hand. If you need to make ice cream, it's like in like you got to shake it like old school style.
Old school.
Everything has to be serve safe, certified.
1900.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
But you know what? That's good because it teaches these kids how to do this stuff.
To think out of the box.
Exactly. So I met up with the one instructor. And he asked me if I would do it. And I kept my eyes like lit up because I really like teaching kids. Like,
yes.
I think that's another thing that I think not enough people do is.
You have to know how to teach.
Exactly.
That's how you learn a different, that's an experience in your life too. When you teach, you feel spiritual. I feel so good.
Absolutely.
If that person I teach doesn't learn, it's a failure.
Yep, it's a failure on you.
Yes.
And also another thing too is with teaching is, you know, some people have secret recipes. It's like my bread pudding recipe.
All the time ahead of everybody. That's my good ego. But I share that also because I know I keep going. I'm improving myself.
Exactly. Like I said, a lot of people
try to... It gives me inspiration to improve. Faster than anybody else.
They want to hold this stuff in, but it's funny because, again, this is going off the topic. I watch like these Netflix shows like Chef's Table and stuff.
Yes.
Now you listen to some of these old-time people, and I forgot the guy's name, but he was a pastry chef from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
He does like the best gelatos. And he said, he goes, if I don't teach the next generation, because everything's starting to get too much computerized and everything's getting... Molecular is kind of going away, but it's starting to come back again.
It goes
spurts.
Of course.
But it's like
there's the good side and the bad side.
People don't know how to like just make food.
Yes.
Like it's pretty crazy. You come out of school, everybody wants to do this crazy stuff. You got to learn the basics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't teach the basics, it's going to get lost.
Absolutely, yes. I totally agree with you. What's your advice for the future restaurant tours or... future chefs, special chefs.
To me, it's learn, man. Like you, I agree. Take your social media and stuff. Look at all this stuff, but don't like get so absorbed into it because half the things. Remember, I fall victim of it too sometimes. Mm-hmm. You're taking a picture of the best thing that you made. That this took you 8 hours to do. Now you're all full. Now you're Instagram ready and taking pictures. That looks great, and you need to be able to do that. But again, focus on doing your flavors. And learn. Like I said, you can look at Instagram, you can look at Netflix, you can look at the cooking shows. You got to learn from all that stuff. And you got to read books. I'm sorry. You YouTube shows too many things that they make everything look so damn easy. And it kind of sucks because it's good and it's bad. When you need to do something on the fly.
Both sides. I'm pro YouTube, I'm pro everything, but also you have to put the work.
But see, that's what
you gotta put the work.
Now
you gotta get
the
experience. If you don't have that experience,
it.
You know, oh, you saw one recipe and you did it. okay, how are you going to be able to do that when the place is very busy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what that's you need the experience.
Yeah.
So learn how to work hard, learn how to work smart, and learn how to cook. That's most important. And learn flavors and get experience. Go other places and learn from different places. Then after that, you can find your own place and show who you are.
And you have to, because I know it sucks. Trust me. You're not going to make $1 million.
Any business is like that. I don't care which business you are. You have to get the experience.
And that's
period.
That's what I think.
And you're not going to get paid for that. Learn.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Any job position you go, you have to learn from scratch.
And you got to understand is if someone's that good and they're in a busy place, they don't have time to teach you. So they're not going to pay you and teach you. When you come in for free,
they'll love you.
They're going to teach
you.
They will.
They will.
Because it's showing.
Because they want to keep you.
Exactly.
So they're going to teach you, do this, do this, do this. And it's up to you how to absorb all that knowledge, you know? You know, learn how to pick up everything fast.
Like I said, if you want to go to sleep, work 8 hours, go out and party, and have a good normal life,
It's not the business. So you got to have
put in your
passion
time.
And love and period. Well, Josip, I'll call you Joe. You know, it was an honor. It was a pleasure. I think we learned a lot. You know, the basics to the how to get experience and how to bring yourself, you know, to the best. I think you belong to the Unstoppable Real Tribe. It was very, very nice interview. I just learned a lot myself too.
Awesome.
It was a pleasure. Thank
you. I'm going to get that tattooed on me now.
Let's do it. Well, thank you for listening to Unstoppable Real Hospitality. See you at the next show. Thank you.